Hi, I'm Shersha Mizan from Hudson. You are listening to WGXC Accra 90.7 FM. Thank you.
Unhappy about something you heard on All Together Now? Or maybe you have a strong opinion about an issue. Energy, agriculture, the environment, the Common Core standards, or broadband access. Don't keep it to yourself. Call 518-291-9492 and leave a 3-minute message, and we'll play it on the air. Leave a 3-minute message, 518-291-9492, with your take for all you hear. Again, that number is 518-291-9492. To leave a 3-minute message that may be played on All Together Now. Thanks for getting involved in your local community.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the First Presbyterian Church of Hudson, a faith community open to all. Whether you are single, married, divorced, gay, wealthy, poor, or no habla inglés, if you are just browsing, just woke up, or just got out of jail, it doesn't matter if you work on Wall Street or if you sleep on Wall Street, you belong. We love soccer moms, crying babies, vegans, hipsters, seekers and doubters, tourists and locals. All are welcome. Services held Sunday mornings at 10:45 a.m. You can find us on the web at firstpreshudson.org.
Oh, good afternoon, everybody. It's 2 o'clock on Wednesday, August 8th. And so it's actually, get ready, drum roll, please. It's something to talk about with Holly and Justin.
We're both here.
We're here. We're live. Jesus. It's awesome. I missed the whole month of July. I apologize. It went by in a blur. I will say that.
Yeah. Well, we forgot what time slot we had. You know,
I did.
Yeah,
you can say it.
Well,
I was. Luckily, I called. I remembered.
I didn't want to throw you under the bus.
Oh no, I don't care.
But yeah, we've been off the air for quite a while.
I had it in my head that it was from 1 to 2, but we are here live. It's 2 to 3, 90.7 FM, WGXC, and today we're talking about coroners. That's such a exciting, crazy topic.
We are talking about coroners, and we are definitely going to liven up this conversation.
No pun intended.
That
was good. We don't really have sound effects, but you know, we
actually
make
do.
Our
I found
own.
A box.
You
I found
did?
A box of sound effects. So if we want to use those today, it should be over
That's
there.
Fun. We are going to liven up the situation. But Justin, I have to ask: when I was coming into town, it's looking very dark and stormy. Are we going to get another storm before our show is over?
Before the show is over, no. The winds are picking up already, and it is gray skies. So this is like the prelude. This is kind of the calm before the storm once again. And yesterday was the calm before today's storm. So we had like it was kind of a walkthrough, kind of getting us ready for today's storm.
Is today's storm going to be worse?
It's going to be about exactly the same.
Yesterday was a lot of lightning and thunder and really heavy rains that lasted a long time. I turned us down, but I'm turning us back up. I like us loud.
I like us loud, too.
I like us loud. Okay.
Yeah, and you know what? We're going to be getting all those lightning strikes, all the thunder, all the heavy, heavy downpours. And Weather with Weaver is predicting this happening around 5 o'clock.
I do love a good storm, I will admit.
Me too. Except for when you're trapped in your car. Yesterday.
Well, we were all trapped at the office. And I was wearing a white dress. I'm like, I'm not going to wait.
Yeah. No.
Of course you were.
Not yesterday.
Oh, sorry, I can't talk to you. So we were all trapped in the office. It was like right at closing time, you know, right at 5 o'clock when
perfect
it started
timing.
Happening.
Yeah, and then I lost power until midnight.
And you lost power. The power went out at the office too, but it came back relatively quickly. But I wish it would storm. It's supposed to storm and then break the humidity, and that hasn't happened yet.
Well,
so that's what's really
annoying. Hope for that.
Yeah.
I don't know anything beyond today.
It's lovely here in the station, I'm going to say.
It is. The fans are blowing. We have some wonderful guests here.
Very tropical. We do have some guests.
Before we get to the guests, Holly, you really haven't been here in a while. So
yes.
I've been seeing some things on Facebook, and I didn't know if you wanted to address those things. Your name has been mentioned in some letters.
We'll get into this whole coroner thing. So what happened was we had an election last year for an open seat. And so we had two candidates who ran, and one won. Cricket Coleman, Dr. Coleman, won the race. Yep. And so something unfortunate happened this year, and she had to resign. So she came to me to do that, and, you know, she didn't know the process or whatever. And so that's all well and good. You know, I knew she didn't want to do it. I could tell she was really upset.
Yeah.
You know, she didn't want to do it, but her personal situation was such that she had to do that because she needed to go back and do her real job. So we have this vacancy. So the way it works, and I know Patsy was trying to explain this to you before. So for different elected offices, there's different laws that govern how it happens. So the county clerk actually does take some resignations. So coroner is one of them. So also in the law, it specifies when a coroner position is vacated that the Board of Supervisors can appoint to fill an interim position, not to succeed the next general election.
Right.
So we weren't sure if there was enough time or not between now, because the petition process for this coming election, November, is already over. But our election person, you know, conferred the law and the county attorney. And so there's an appointment that can happen. And then there's also time to get candidates on the ballot.
Right.
So because of the appointment, it was a little confusing to some people. So because of the appointment aspect of it, the chairman of the board received letters of interest from people. And we do have two of them here today. So we have Bernadette Powis. Hello, Bernadette.
Hello, Holly.
Welcome.
How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm well.
Thanks for being here. And then we have Carmen. Of course, I'm glad you came.
Yeah.
I really am. And we have Carmen Martino here, who's also, we're going to call you two the front runners because you kind of are. So Carmen Martino is here, and he's looking for the endorsement and also the appointment. The Republican line, right?
Yes.
Hi, Carmen.
Correct. Hi, Holly. Justin, hello.
Thanks for being here, Carmen. We're glad. And yeah, we're glad you both agreed to. You know, we've done this a couple of times. Candidates on alternate. Justin's tearing me.
Almost knocked us right off the air. I'm so big. Yes.
We've done this before with
mayoral candidates.
Tiffany and Bill.
Yeah, this is our second time having two people vying for the same position here.
I have to say, sometimes people don't, you know, they get a little, like, nervous about it. But you know, it's
not these two people. They're very calm, cool, collected.
And that's good.
That's a good
way to be.
So I've learned, that the coroner position, to be able to become a coroner, it's different all over the place.
It's
different in counties. It's different in states. Some places require that you have a medical degree and a license. Others don't. Who wants to talk about, you both can talk about, what qualifications do you need to have a coroner, to become a coroner here in Columbia County, and what of those qualifications do you possess?
Well, to my knowledge, there are no qualifications.
I was going to say, they may not even know that, Justin, but I do.
Well, then can I throw my hat into the ring for coroner?
You certainly could. Yes.
We have a three-way race now.
you could have a 20-way race. I mean, you could.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you could. No, there really aren't any. Specifically, it's only New York City where the coroner is required to be a medical examiner.
Gotcha. Right.
But in upstate New York, there's no, you know, essentially, there is no requirements. You don't have to have a medical background.
Okay.
There's no requirement that you have a degree in the medical field or anything to do with the medical field at all. Essentially, you just have to want to do the job, which always surprises me that people want to do this job, because it's a hard job, and you have to see difficult things. I mean, it's not like, you know, you have to be able to go and do your job and then go home and go to sleep, mm-hmm. or go back home and go back to sleep potentially, mm-hmm. if it's the middle of the night. But the coroner is responsible for unattended deaths. I'm assuming both of you have, right? It's unattended death. That's where you go to, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So why don't we talk a little bit, yeah, about your backgrounds and why you think, you know, so, okay, essentially it's you're going to go up to somebody and if you can take a pulse, I mean, I don't know how to determine that someone is deceased. And we're not meaning to take any of this lightly because we know it's a lot of times it's a difficult situation, right. And there's family involved and it's normally very chaotic and people are upset. So right. it is a situation that does require some level of decorum. So, you know, we apologize in advance because we try to keep our show light.
We very light and airy here.
And this is not a really light and airy topic.
It's
but
not.
We try.
We're doing our best.
So, yeah. So what qualifications do you bring to the table,
okay.
Bernard? Why do you want to be coroner? Why do you want to do this?
Why do I want to do this? So first, let me start off by saying that I've been a registered nurse since 1977. I'm a licensed medical nurse practitioner. I'm a family nurse practitioner. And I'm also a psychiatric nurse practitioner. I have 35 plus years of experience in this field. And the reason that I would really feel that I'm a good fit for this situation, Holly is now taking pictures.
We're listening, Bernadette. We always have to take a picture.
And now I'm like, where was I? What am I saying, Holly?
You have 35
years
experience.
35 years experience.
35 years experience. Okay. I'm very invested in my community. I am on the Kinderhook Memorial Library Board of Trustees. I'm on the Columbia County Safe at Home work group here at the county, and basically what that is exploring gaps in senior care in our county and identifying them and then making suggestions for how we're going to deal with them. And I ran for office last year. I ran for town board in the town of Kinderhook. So I'm very invested in my community, and I feel I would be a good coroner because I feel that I have the medical and psychiatric background that would help me to deal with these situations and also bring something to the people at the families at the scene to be able to, you know, comfort them. As a nurse, the most important thing you learn from day one is your patient mm-hmm. is the focus of your relationship. So it's patient-centered care, it's patient advocacy. And for me, it would be compassion and support for the families of the deceased.
Okay. And have you? I know you're running on the Democratic side. Have you been endorsed officially, or have they met yet?
I was officially endorsed on July 26th
okay, very
of this
good.
Year.
Well, congratulations.
Well, thank
That's
you.
Exciting. All right.
Well, that was a good intro. Now
Carmen.
We have Carmen Martino.
Why don't we hear from you? What's your background, and why
First
do you want to do this,
good
Carmen?
Afternoon. My background. Started back in 1994 with the City of Hudson Police Department. I have 23 years in law enforcement. I retired last year. While I was with the City of Hudson, probably what got me interested in the coroner's position is the first death investigation that I went to. It became very interesting to me. The whole process, how everything took place from the time we got there to how the coroner came in, how the police investigated this case. And it just snowballed over my career. I went from the City of Hudson. I worked for a little while with the Columbia County Sheriff's Department. And then in 1997, I went into the New York State Police Academy, where mm-hmm. I graduated in 97. While I was in the New York State Police Academy, we had a lot of training on deaths. One of the big things was making death notification, which is a very hard thing to do. And I've done those in the past, where you have to go and tell the family,
yeah.
Your loved one, for instance, just passed away in a car accident. From there, we also went to an autopsy, and we learned how the pathologist does his job and the things that, you know, some of the things that we should look for. As a trooper, for my 20 years, I went to numerous deaths from natural deaths, where a person had a heart attack at their house, to drownings, fatal accidents, suicides, and even homicides. So I've investigated these scenes, and I've been a part of these scenes with the state police, and I've also been a part of them with other agencies helping out. And at these scenes, the coroner's there. And I've worked side by side with the coroners that we have today and past coroners, such as Angelo Nero and Ken Ham.
Right.
So I know the job. You know, I've done the job pretty much outside of after the investigation, the paperwork that the coroner needs to do. I've been to autopsies, you know, and I've been to the scenes. And at these scenes, they, like we talked about earlier, they can become volatile.
Right.
Everyone handles, you know, death a certain way. It's one thing if someone knows that their loved one is going to pass. Like, for instance, if they have cancer and, you know, unfortunately they pass, they know
it's expected. Right.
And they deal with it. They've had time to deal with it. But if you go to someone's house and you just tell them that their loved one just passed away in a fatal motor vehicle accident, you know, everyone handles that different. At times they're quiet because it's shock.
And everybody delivers that information different.
Definitely.
So you have to make sure that you're that person that knows how to. I would burst into tears. And, you know, I couldn't deliver that information to anybody. So
I actually been on the receiving end of one of those phone calls. And it was actually from the state police just this past March. I lost one of my employees to a fatal car accident.
Right.
And so I had to get the phone call that, you know, one of my employees was killed in a head-on car crash. And, yeah, being on that end of it. Is very different than, you know, hearing about someone else's experience when it happens to you. So you do appreciate the, you know, compassion on the side of the person telling you, you know, that it's not blunt, you know, it's not a voicemail or a text or, you know, there has to be some level of how to interact with other people. So so it sounds like, Carmen, you've actually witnessed a lot of horrific things.
I
mean, that's again something else that just
23 years I've seen a lot of things.
Just startles me that why people want this job, because you do have to visit and you know, go to the car accidents, go to the suicides, go to the homicides, and you know, look at some, you know, children. I mean, that, you know, the poor baby that was at Bell's Ponds. How do you get that out of your head, Bernadette?
I think that I certainly respect all of your experience as far as dealing with death scenes. I do believe that a death scene is also, and I think I'm losing my train of thought, but I do feel that your law enforcement background is very important, but I think to that position, I could bring a different perspective. In other words, no, I'm not a law enforcement person. Do I know how to fill out death reports? Yes, I do. Am I capable of evaluating a scene? I bring a different, in other words, my focus would be different than Carmen's focus. My focus would be on what are the medical conditions that this person has? What are the medications they may have been on as far as the investigation is involved. So I feel like I would augment a police investigation. I bring a different perspective to evaluating a death scene. And so that, I believe, is my strength in this position.
How do you respond to that, Carmen?
Well, I can understand what Bernadette's saying, but I'm going to counteract and say that I bring the same thing that she says she can bring. And even more so, because I'm no longer acting in a capacity as a trooper or police officer that I once was. I would be acting as coroner. And what the coroner is to me is, and what I've seen, is he's the liaison, or she is the liaison, between the police and the family. And over my 23 years, it's probably a lot like a nurse. If you care about your job, you become compassionate about the people.
Right.
And I'm very compassionate about the people of Columbia County. I was born and raised in Columbia County. I've spent my entire life, I've spent almost my entire career as a police officer serving the people of Columbia County. And I want to continue serving the people of Columbia County. And to take it back one step, I believe that I am very compassionate and that I have an understanding because I've been there. And I know how to handle certain situations when they become combative. Yes, the police will be there, but the police aren't always there. They may leave, and a coroner may still be there and still be trying to get information from the family.
Right.
And it could become combative.
Now, Carmen, before you get... Oh, I'm sorry, Bernadette. I did just want to ask both of your political backgrounds. You know, Carmen, is this your first foray into politics?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes,
yeah. So this is your first adventure into the world of politics. And Bernadette,
I ran for town board last year in the town.
So you're a little familiar with how it works.
I'm a little familiar with that.
And I hear they call you Bern after Bernie Sanders, who is he is the person who really inspired you to go,
there you go,
into the political arena.
He certainly did. I think Bernie Sanders was the first political candidate in a long time. Politician who actually spoke
that you felt
to people,
yeah,
and encouraged, you know, and encouraged people to become active and to get involved.
Well, go ahead, sorry. Yeah. I was going to say, this is very exciting for me. We have a nurse against a cop, and neither one of them are politicians, yet it's a political kind of position. It's just really enthralling, and I never thought I could get this excited over being around two possible coroner
candidates. They see dead people, yes.
I really think I can't emphasize enough the fact that I understand what you're saying, that Carmen, that you've been in these situations. But I also feel that people come to situations from their professional backgrounds. Your professional background is law enforcement. My professional background is medical and psych. And so I understand switching roles, but I also feel that I bring something different to the role. And that's what I'm hoping to do. And I am also very, very eager to serve the people of Columbia County. I realize I'll be getting up in the middle of the night.
I was just going to say.
Driving all over the county.
Yeah.
You know, Bill will be driving me at night, but during the day I will drive myself.
Bill is her husband who's sitting here watching from afar. Right. Mr. That's Mancini.
Right. He has this look of surprise on his face. Like, what?
He's like, I didn't know I have to get up that early.
So I have not gone into this willy-nilly.
Yeah.
I realize what's involved. I realize, you know, that I'm gonna take the coroner 101 course, and I'm going to, which is now mandated by the state.
I have that here.
I'm gonna really, you know, bring my professional background, 35 years worth, and believe me, I've been in a room with a psych patient who's decompensating, and I recognize what's involved in de-escalating a situation. And, you know, getting kind of going with restraint teams and making sure that person gets the help they need and that nobody gets hurt.
Well, very quickly, let me just interject. You did mention that you're going to be taking the necessary courses. This happened on August 31st of last year. A new law was signed by New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, and it requires elected county coroners across the state of New York to complete medical/legal investigation courses prior to taking office. And this makes New York the 17th state to require training for coroners. And all this information comes from the CDC. And I called the CDC today, Hallie.
You did?
I did.
On your break?
On my break,
good
of course.
Good work, Justin.
on my lunch break, as a matter of fact. And they referred me to the website, but the website hasn't been updated till 2016.
Thanks for your phone call. We'll get back to you.
I did extra research, and it's true that this is true. And I get this information from forensicmag.com.
That's right. And there's an association, the New York State Association.
It's MCAA. Yep.
Right.
Now, I realize also in this research that I've done that Columbia County has three coroners, and each of whom serve 4-year terms. Now, do you know who the other two coroners are? And is everybody assigned to a specific location? How does this work?
Yeah, Mike Blazel covers the upper northern part of the county.
Okay.
And
Mr. mic off because I'm on the phone.
Mr. Bertram, I believe. Correct me, please, Carmen, if I don't get this right. That Mr. Bertram manages Hudson and East, and then the area that we are going for is south of Route 23. So we're talking
potentially
Austerlitz. I mean, not Austerlitz, Ankrum, Livingston, Greenport, Copaic, and et cetera.
Okay.
If I can answer
yes,
that.
Please. Go ahead, Carmen.
Okay, coroners.
Sorry, that was my office.
First coroner, Mike Blazel.
Go right in the microphone.
The first coroner is Mike Blazel.
Okay.
Okay. He has a funeral home in Chatham. Mm. The second coroner is Jim Bertram, who I know very well.
Retired sheriff.
He's a retired sheriff. He used to be my baseball coach growing up. I was friends with his son all through school.
Cool.
Good man. So is Mike Blazel. Bernadette is partially correct. How it's broken up, it's into three zones. The parkway is what's going to split the zone down to the Route 923 area. So Mike Blazel has the northeast portion of it, mm-hmm. which covers Austerlitz, New Lebanon, Hillsdale, that area. Mr. Bertram covers the northwest section, which covers Kinderhook, parts of Stuyvesant, Stockport. The city of Hudson also covers Columbia Memorial Hospital and parts of Greenport. Mm-hmm. The spot that Bernadette and I are, hopefully one of us is responsible for. No one else throws their hat into the ring.
Still thinking about it.
It's a little late.
Lower Greenport, uh-huh. Germantown, Livingston, Copake, Ankrum, and Gallatin. Okay.
And this is the area that Angelo Nero had forever, and then he retired.
Well, he had more of Bertram's area.
But the position became vacant, and then Cricket took that because Angelo Nero was no longer...
He didn't run again.
Right.
Angelo decided that he wasn't going to run for coroner again. And historically, you know, the having of there being three coroners in Columbia County is relatively new to Columbia County. There were actually only two. It was Angelo Nero and Kenny Ham for the longest time. Kenny Ham, during his last term, the last year of his last term, unfortunately became ill and wasn't really able to cover a lot. And so it was decided at that point by the Board of Supervisors that we needed a third, just in case one of the two of them is out, then it's, you know, not up to one poor soul to go from helter-skelter,
you
know,
from here and there. I was wondering, if that was the idea behind having multiple.
So that was where that came from. Yes, Carmen?
There's one thing I wanted to touch on also.
Go ahead.
Bernadette said that she expects her husband to drive her to these cases that aren't in a controlled environment, that aren't in a house. A lot of times...
No, that's not what I said. But that's
was he going to drive you? Oh.
I'm pretty sure I thought you said that he was going to drive you. Okay. So do you have a four-wheel drive vehicle?
Yes.
Okay.
Excellent. Absolutely.
Because you're going to have to drive in all types of weather.
I had just said that in the event that it was in the middle of the night that he would help with the driving. During the day, and I'm perfectly capable of driving myself anywhere I need to go.
Exactly.
And at night, too, if need be, be very honest.
Okay. But I can drive myself to all cases. I have a four-wheel drive vehicle, and again, I can drive myself. I'm familiar with the area. I've had cases where people have committed suicide a mile into the woods in snowstorms. Feel that I'm physically fit and that I can make that trek into the snow and go to these scenes, which the coroner has to respond to the scene. And the coroner is on duty 24/7, is expected to respond to all their calls as a service to the public.
Yes.
That was one of the
26 out of 30 days
that,
a month.
Right.
And, you know, plus covering the entire county every 3 weeks. And thank you for explaining how the county is broken up. I got this from someone else, and I couldn't find anything on the website that kind of had a map of it or something like that.
You're welcome.
Sorry about that.
No, that's perfectly fine, and that's good to clarify. We're getting all this out in the open.
Everything
you want to know about Connor.
I know.
This is fun. Justin has an odd sense of fun.
I do. We should tell everybody, tonight is the Public Safety Committee meeting, and that is followed by a full board meeting. And this is happening at 401 State. The Public Safety Committee meeting is in charge of coming up, putting forward the resolution to appoint the coroner. Now, Holly, you're the politico. I want to make sure that I'm doing that correct.
Sure.
Okay. So that's going to happen at 7, immediately followed by the Board of Supervisors voting and determining who is going to be appointed as coroner into this position until the November election this year.
Right.
So even if you are appointed, either one of you, I kind of hope that both of you get a chance to do it for a little bit. You know, one gets one gets appointed and then the other one, because you're nice people and you got a lot of credentials.
I'll let Bernadette do the weekend.
Thank you.
Or she could be a
pro.
There you go. I knew I could count on
we can work it out. That was nice.
So that's important for people to know, though, because they're going to be like, wait a minute, didn't we just get a coroner? But is just a temporary appointment until the November election.
Two specific
The only
things.
Thing I could say to stick up for myself as far as not being, you know, whatever, if Mr. Angelo Nero could do this position till, how old was he, 90? I'm a thinking that, you know, I'm fit enough, and I'll have that gear in the car, and I will go wherever I need to go, through the snow, the ice, the whole nine yards.
Oh, well, that's good.
Do we want to go to our fun song?
Well, is this a good time for a song? Break? This is good. And then we do have to, you talked about it, and then we skipped over the letter, because we do have to address.
Yes.
There were two other people who are looking to be appointed.
Yes. Well, I just want to, before we go to break, those meetings that I talked about are open to the public. So if anybody wants to go, it's at 401 State Street tonight at 7 and 7:30.
Right.
Okay.
Very good. So what's our song? Which one am I doing? The Coroner song or the Wizard of Oz Munchkin Coroner?
I actually found...
Do you get that cool hat when you become coroner? I don't think so.
I don't know. But I did find a coroner song.
So which one did you want? The first one?
Yeah, the first one on the left there.
All right. We always have technical difficulties. So this has been Holly and Justin here on Something to Talk About, 90.7 FM, live local radio. And we're here with the lovely Bernadette and the wonderful Carmen.
Stay tuned.
Talking about coroner and all of those fun topics. So we'll listen to this little song. Okay, I'm going to do it this way. I think I did it. Oh, okay. And it's Aux One. All right, we'll be back.
Go to meetings, I look at slides, I have been known to testify, amen. Sometimes I even give a guy a ride, he don't say much, I like the quiet kind. You won't hear me coming, I don't get to use a siren, but I got science on my side. I'm gonna tell them how you died. Cause I'm the C-O-R-O-N-E-R. I like to drive my special car. I put a stretcher in back. Yeah, it's really first class. Cause I'm the last one who's gonna see or ask me no questions. Not now. I give you who, what, why, where, when, and how. I don't shake a lot of hands. I don't have a lot of friends. But I'm the one who gets invited in the end. Was it a murder or an accident? Are you a homeless guy or a bona fide gent? There'll be no circumstance or pomp. I hope you're not a decomp. Cause I'm the C-O-R-O-N-E-R. See my name emblazoned on my car. You can call me Brenda, Pat, or Fred. I only wanna see you when you're dead. Yeah, I like to work with people who don't talk back. I like the kind of guy who's quiet in the sack. Say what? Cause I'm the C-O-R-O-N-E-R. I'm a real life hero, a superstar. I can hold my own in any corner bar. I may have pieces of you in a jar. Yeah, cause I'm the coroner. Needle-ee-dee, I'm the coroner. Needle-ee-doo, I'm the coroner. I'm a-coming for you. Yeah, cause I'm the coroner. Needle-ee-dee, I'm the coroner. Needle-ee-doo, I'm the coroner. And I'm a-coming for you.
Oh.
And And we're back live on the air. That was the Coroner song, the Colorado Coroners Association. I told both of our prospective coroners to be that they were responsible for making a song because Jim Bertram and Mike Blazel said we're not singing. So just know that you do have to do that.
These two had absolutely nothing to do with that song selection. So
and
we
neither
don't
did
want
Holly.
That. I did. It's all me.
It was all Justin.
I'll accept the hate mail.
Responsible. So we do have a caller. Let's try and get that.
We have a coroner related caller. Caller, are you there?
Hello.
Yes, I am.
Hi, Stephanie. Thanks for calling in. What's your question?
Thank you, Holly. Am I on air?
Yes, you are.
You're live on the air.
Live on the air. That's wonderful.
No swearing.
First, I wanted to say thank you to Holly and Justin, and in particular Justin, for just sharing what the process is, because all of us citizens out here really don't know what some of the processes are. So I thank you for letting all the listeners know
that
at the first step would be for the Public Safety Committee to vote on a candidate and offer the resolution that will go to the full board. So that's important to know. And that all of these meetings are open to the public. So
yes.
You're welcome. We're here to inform.
All county government meetings are open to the public.
And in some cases, perform. So, with that being said...
Did you have a question?
I do. So, this question is for both Bernadette and Corman.
Okay.
And I'd like to know whether either of them have met with or been interviewed by the Public Safety Committee concerning this position, since they are the lead in this process. Mm.
Oh, good question, Stephanie. Thank you very much.
Well, this is Bernadette. That would be a no. I have not been contacted by the Public Safety Committee at all.
And I as well. I have not been contacted. Mm-hmm.
No. How that happened, Stephanie, if I might, is letters of interest were sent to the committee along with resumes or background material. So.
Yeah, you know, paper is great, but I think when people are making an important decision like this, mm-hmm. for the citizens of Columbia County, they should take the time to meet the individual.
Yeah, duly noted. We can pass that along.
Thank you.
It was a short time frame, too, so that might have had something to do with it. But
this time.
Yeah.
If it's important to citizens, which this particular position is, because death comes to every family.
Mm-hmm.
And it does.
We want to be sure that our elected officials are making the best decisions on behalf of the constituents of Columbia County. So I think they can take the time.
Very good. Well, thanks for your phone call,
Stephanie.
Thank
you very much, Stephanie. And stay tuned. We have 24 minutes left.
23.
We'll try to get to everything.
Have a good afternoon.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling. Okay. So, let me flip that switch.
Okay. Yes.
So to address that a little bit, it's, up to the committee itself, how they wanted to handle it. There were letters of interest that were sent to the chairman of the board, who then distributed them to all the supervisors, actually, not just the Public Safety Committee. All of the supervisors received all of the letters. One of the supervisors actually did then forward those, actually three of them. I don't think he posted yours online, Bernadette, but the other three were posted online.
Yes, I saw it. That's what I was referring to at the beginning of the show. Yes,
right. So I'm not sure yours wasn't, but the other three were, and one of them happened to call out myself as the reason why he lost the election last year. And so I did just want to touch on that briefly and explain that that's not true. And I believe that is, aside from the fact that last year, we had a winner in cricket, really, I don't believe his interest was accounted for much based on his letter of calling out the county clerk. But I certainly do have proof that I was not publicly campaigning against anybody that was endorsed by the Republican Party. So it was kind of sad. I had a lot of feedback actually from people who said, why would you do that when you're looking for, to get something from a body? Why you would call out another elected official is really odd. So it's kind of sad, but
it did appear to me as sour grapes. I have no favoritism whatsoever. I'm just to put it out there, I'm a registered Democrat, and my dear friend here is a Republican.
That's right.
And I get along with people that I get along with, and I don't with those that I don't. And mm-hmm. I don't care if you're Republican, Democrat, Independent, whatever. I vote right. for who I want to vote for.
Right.
But I did think in this case it was sour grapes. He lost the election, and he had to call somebody out, and he wanted to go off. He wanted to leave on his horse in the sunset and really make a splash.
Yeah.
But it didn't work.
No, not really.
So,
not really.
Well, I just so, yeah, I thought we should address so, that yeah. because, you know.
And there were you know, a lot more details that were involved, and he was right that I was angry with him at one point about something him personally regarding a raise, but it wasn't because of his not supporting that. It was because he hid it from everybody.
Well, I think everybody's
talk about it.
It's
so,
important for everybody to get a forum like this to be able to address
right.
you know, blatant character assassinations.
Right. And it is, it's outright lies. I have written proof that I was supporting him.
So
his
here
signs
we are.
Were up at the fair, we handed them out, we were doing all of that. So
that's right.
Really sad, but just wanted to clarify that because it was put out there on Facebook and it was way wrong.
Yes.
Good old Facebook.
Yeah.
So I want to give the actual definition of what the coroner's job is according to, what is this?
Is that the law?
It might be. It's the coroner job. I don't even have an accreditation here. But coroners are medico-legal experts who investigate the cause and manner of death of deceased individuals. Although educational requirements vary by state, all coroners must have a fundamental understanding of human anatomy, physiology, and the signs of various causes of death. The key job responsibility of a coroner or medical examiner is to determine the manners and causes of death, often by performing autopsies, but not in all cases.
That's really not accurate at all for a coroner in upstate.
Not here.
They don't do
not
autopsies.
Here.
Yeah,
there's no medical requirement, no requirement for any type of medical background.
I think that's like
that might be.
They're trying to create standards. Standards that will be set standards across the whole country,
which is why I think New York has just adopted these this medical class,
right.
this training,
mm-hmm.
and
right.
and this new law that we were talking about earlier requires the coroner, him or herself, to pay for the courses, and then the counties have the option to reimburse the officials.
Mm-hmm.
So while we're talking a little bit about this, it might be off topic, but I think it's important. Why don't you guys go into your backgrounds a little bit more so the public can really know who, you know.
Yeah, Carmen wanted to talk
yes.
more about his.
Yeah, we'll go with Carmen first and then
growing
we'll
up.
Bounce over to Bernadette. How's that?
Sounds good.
Okay.
Just want everyone to know I was born and raised in Columbia County.
Mm-hmm.
Spent my entire life in the town of Ghent. I grew up there.
To Chatham School.
I went to Chatham School.
We graduated together.
Graduated with Holly. You want me to say the year? Or no?
Class of 88. Sure, why not? I'm proud. We still look good, Carmen. So
yes, you do.
We do look good.
I didn't travel far. I moved across the street from where I grew up, built a house. I married my wife, who I've been with since high school.
Mm-hmm.
I have four children.
Yeah.
They're all grown now and going to college. I attended Columbia Green Community College, where I obtained my associate's degree in criminal justice. From there, I worked with my father, who has a construction company, Martino Builders. He's been in this area his whole life. I then attended a Zone 14 Police Academy. I attended that academy at Columbia Green Community College for my position with Hudson. And again, after that, in 1997, I went to the New York State Police Academy, and I graduated from there and spent my 20 years of my 23 years career in law enforcement with the state police as a trooper and investigator. Some of my training that I've had outside of the academy was trained as a drug recognition expert. I was trained as a crime scene technician. And I've also have training as an accident reconstructionist.
Mm.
All of that said, again, I feel as a lifelong resident of Columbia County and working in this county as a trooper and a Hudson police officer and a sheriff's deputy, I know all three agencies. I know the men and women of these agencies. I've worked with them. I will work well with them because I know them. And I know the area. I know the layout. I know, you know, the towns. And I've worked all the towns in Columbia County, and I feel that I'd be very comfortable as coroner, and I would respond to my calls mm-hmm. swiftly and appropriately.
Very good.
And I just wanted to add to that, you describe yourself as self-motivated, dependable, and organized. You're also a team player, and you communicate very well, which I think is very important in the role. And the thing that stood out for me, because I, of course, I have my ways, I have your resume in front of me. I can't tell you where I got it from. But you you were assigned to security detail for the duration in New York City during September 11th. During the terrorist attack. So we thank you for your service.
Thank you.
Yeah, definitely.
Bernadette.
Very hard.
Okay.
Back to you.
All right, back to me. So
tell us
about
yourself.
I was born in Brooklyn, New York. Okay. I have 8 siblings.
Wow.
I am the second youngest, a very Italian Catholic family.
Nice.
12 years of parochial education. I got my registered nurse in 1977. I went to the Helene Fold School of Nursing, which was in up in Manhattan. And basically, Bill and I are married. We have 4 children. We have 10 grandchildren.
Wow.
And I have been building on my education over the years. So I went back to school. I got my bachelor's degree in healthcare administration. So I have administrative experience. I've mm-hmm. worked in nursing homes. I've been nursing supervisor. Then I went back to school again and got my family nurse practitioner degree. I've worked in medical clinics. I've worked in short-term rehab. I've responded to all manner of medical emergencies and intervened in those, led the team and intervened in those. I continued on and I went and got my psych nurse practitioner. Those are masters, so that's a master prepared nurse. I got that from SUNY Stony Brook.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I have it right here.
Right, and I worked in an outpatient psychiatric clinic. And also in the perinatal clinic, which was a clinic where we provided mental health care for pregnant and new moms.
Nice.
So very challenging positions. I carried a caseload of up to 150 patients, managed their medications, watched them for changes. I'm a psychotherapist. And I really think that one of the main things is I really respect Carmen's law enforcement background. I think that is a very, he has a fabulous law enforcement background. I have a very strong, a very solid medical and psychiatric background. I can talk to physicians. I know medical jargon. I can talk to physicians. I can talk to medical examiners. I can translate the medical jargon to a family. So I know diagnostics. I know what's anatomy and physiology.
It sounds like we'll have in the fall, you know, residents will have 2 great people to choose from.
Yes.
Now, I know I asked you, you know, you've been endorsed. Now, Carmen, what is your situation for this fall for running? I know you met with the executive committee. Is that correct? But has the full... When is there, have you been endorsed yet by the full committee?
I've been endorsed by the Republican committee.
Yes, okay, very good. So, really, it's too late then for other candidates. And that's good. Sorry, Justin, you're out of the running, honey.
I was good.
Try
okay,
next year,
that's
maybe.
Okay, I'm busy.
Yeah, I don't think you want to do that job.
I'd get the call at 2 in the morning and I'd still be at Molino's or something. I'm like,
oh,
I can't.
Jesus.
No, I'm just kidding. It's only on a Saturday after work.
And you take Uber home.
Exactly.
Yeah, we love Uber.
Now, Bernadette, to wrap your whole...
Well, how long have you been in the area, Bernadette?
We bought our home in 2002.
Okay.
We spent 10 years... We bought a home that had... The person had smoked in it for 30 years with the windows closed.
Oh.
So Bill and I, in a labor of love, spent weekends... cleaning the house. And we have a lovely little ranch house in the village of Kinderhook.
Oh, nice.
And then we both retired in 2013. And we've been up here since then full time. We've been members of this community since 2000.
Very good. Yeah, it's hard to get some of those smells out of houses. Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Now, you were a nurse practitioner at the Zucker Hillside Hospital?
Zucker Hillside Hospital.
Okay, where's that?
That is down in New High Park, Queens. Okay. Actually, it's right on the borderline between Queens and Nassau. It is now part of, it was Long Island Jewish. It was part of Long Island Jewish, but that has now become a conglomerate.
Oh,
Northwell
yeah.
Health. Everything is
yeah, they
moving.
Kind of
yes, they're consolidating their yeah. patient base.
And you describe yourself when you're confronted by emotionally charged or tragic situations, you're calm, you're focused while formulating an appropriate objective response. So just like Carmen is very qualified and everything that I said was wonderful. I think that's wonderful. It's a wonderful trait to have.
Thank you.
You both are wonderful candidates for this position.
Well, I wanted to ask Carmen a little bit to touch on more because you mentioned, and you and I had talked about this, as I said, I've known Carmen my whole life, actually, because we grew up down the street and went to school together, and Carmen drove a really cool car when he was in high school. Do you still have that car, Carmen?
No, those days are gone. I had four kids.
Four kids. That's right. Yeah, you got to sell that car. I know that when you became, it was with BCI, when you're an investigator, and you mentioned this, that one of your first things to investigate was a homicide situation in Ulster County, where it was a mom and her kids and a man who had been brutally murdered. Talk to us a little bit about how you think that, you know, those what qualities does that type of experience? I mean, I know, Bernadette, you talked about, you know, through nursing, obviously you deal with all sorts of emotionally, you know, these types
charged.
Of situation.
Mm-hmm.
See, and that's why I couldn't do this, because I would cry.
Me too. Me
if,
too.
If I see someone getting upset, I cry.
I've only seen you cry
so,
once.
Yeah, well,
you're good.
I had to give a eulogy. That was why I missed the last show, and I held it together through most of it, but towards the end a little bit I cried. So, yeah. You know, it happens. I'm an emotional person, but you, oh gosh. So, you know, how does that type of experience, you know, everything that you've had to see as a trooper and as an investigator, you know, what do you think that brings to?
Well, I think what it brings is it doesn't bring a shock value. I've seen pretty much everything there is to see in terms of deaths, unfortunately, and I'm not going to be afraid. It's not going to shock me, and I'll be able to stay there. I'll be able to see the crime scene, if there is a crime scene, or see the scene. And I'll be able to assess that scene. I'll be able to assist, you know, police and the family at that scene. I feel that, again, my 23 years as a police officer, I can handle crime scenes, and I can handle scenes that are tough for normal people. To see.
So I'm assuming both of you have the ability to, again, like turn those pictures off when you go home, which is important for someone in this position to be able to do.
Right, right. I just want to reiterate, I really think that Carmen's experience is fabulous. I think I'm coming from a different perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, I will be, you know, yes, he has strengths there. And
I think you both have
everyone,
strengths
we,
that
we
are
have,
gonna.
We
each
have
yeah.
strengths. And
like I said, it's
I think
two good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People
so
for voters to pick from.
Yeah.
Well, now I like to know about the person, what they're interested in, that has absolutely nothing to do with the job whatsoever. So tell us about your interests. What kind of person are you? What do you do on the weekends?
In 1 minute.
Yeah.
We've got 7 minutes.
We've got 8 minutes.
Seven.
6, 5.
I'm watching this.
No rush.
Running, not that
no
quick.
Rush. Get it over with.
No rush.
Basically, I'm a gardener.
Uh-huh.
I love to garden. We love to visit with our grandchildren. What else? I really like helping people. I like helping people in my neighborhood. I like to do that. And that's why I'm involved in the Safe at Home Committee, because I would like to see, you know, us kind of get something together that's like on a town level that we would address people in the town who need help. So I'm working on that. And What else do I love to do?
Well, in our beginning shows, Holly and I would always ask the guests really dumb questions.
Yes.
Like,
what's your favorite color?
What's your favorite color and what's your favorite movie? So you got to ask. You got to answer those.
Do I really have to answer that question? Are you kidding?
No.
Okay, I'll say my favorite color is green.
Okay. What about favorite movie?
I'll say my favorite movie is Raising Arizona.
Oh, good.
Very nice. Okay.
All right,
Carmen,
Carmen,
what
your
are yours? Yeah.
Which question?
Like color? Yes.
Well, yeah. Okay, go ahead.
Start with that.
Favorite color? Yeah. Red.
Red. Red. Oh, that's a good answer.
Okay.
Favorite movie?
Of course.
My favorite movie.
Oh, Holly.
I'm teasing.
She's not even trying. And your favorite movie.
What was
movie?
The favorite movie?
The Godfather.
He's wearing blue. He's wearing a blue shirt. The Godfather. Okay. That's another good one. Another good one. Oh,
and
God.
Tell us about your hobbies.
You got to wear red tonight, Bernadette.
Your hobbies and interests. I was hoping that you guys would say that you love watching Law & Order.
I love Law & Order. I binge watch Law & Order constantly. I was just watching it on my lunch.
Yeah. What are you interested in? What
do you do in your downtime,
well,
Carmen?
My interest, when my children were younger, I coached Little League.
Mm-hmm.
Now that they're older and I'm retired, my wife and I spend a lot of time walking, hiking, basically doing things around the house, you know, my to-do list.
Right.
And like Bernadette, I help the community. For instance, my neighbor needed a screen door put on her house, and you know, I went over there and I put that on for her. You know, it's just, I think that's one of the things that I'm seeing between Bernadette and I is that we're both here to help the community.
Right. Yes, both
very
good choices.
Very, very committed to helping the community.
Absolutely. All right. Any parting thoughts in the last 5 minutes? So why don't you give summations? Bernadette, we'll start with you.
Oh, do I have to give a summation?
Well, just so you know. Again.
I wanted to give an example of something.
Your husband liked to say anything.
I wanted to give an example of something. Someone was telling me the other day about a nurse who had been coroner in the past. Mm-hmm. And that what she had done was noticed when she was going to death scenes that there was an inordinate number of accidents at a certain intersection. And she actually pushed and got a traffic light put there.
Was this Roberta?
Which, thank you, which fixed the situation. So
good.
I think the public health part of it is also something that I am very interested
in.
As far as being coroner.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Bernadette. Carmen?
Any summation? You want to sum up
some
what we've talked
thoughts?
about you?
And actually, you should tell people how you found out about this, really. Like, who kind of... Right, was it
well,
Coroner Bertram? Have you been endorsed by anybody?
Yes.
Excuse me.
I knew there was a coroner's position open last year
right.
when I retired.
Right.
I had called Jim Bertram and I had asked him that I expressed interest in it, but he said that it was already filled. So he said he would keep me in mind. And I thanked him for that. And it just so happens that Cricket resigned and Mr. Bertram contacted me and asked me if I would be interested. And I said yes. And Here we are.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think some voters might be concerned because, you know, Cricket won by like a 55%. She won 55% of the vote.
Yes.
And she left. Mm-hmm. So we're wondering, me as just a regular voter, like, was the job too much for her? So I wonder, is there any situation that could possibly happen as coroner that it would be just, no, way too much and I can't do this job anymore?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I am a trained professional. I have 35 years of experience. I show up for work. I was never one to call in. I was always there. I always stayed late. I always made sure that everything was done exactly the way it needs to be done. I understand
a lot of
how important documentation is at every level. And I will be
Carmen,
there.
Your answer to that?
I'm pretty much the same as Bernadette in terms of strong work ethic. Perfectionist. I would stay late and make sure that my paperwork was completed and it was put in time. And I just feel that I would be best suited for coroner because I have mirrored, like I said, the past and present coroners, and I know the position.
Okay. And I do just want to say, in speaking with Cricket personally and her having come to me, it wasn't anything about the job.
Uh-huh.
She didn't leave because of the job. She left because of personal reasons so that are not mine to share, and so that's her story. Right. But it was not anything. Yeah, she did not want to resign. She was kind of, her hand was forced a little bit. So, yeah. Yeah, I felt for her because I could see it was breaking her heart to have to do it. She enjoyed the job. And from all what I've heard, you know, she was doing a fine job. She was working well with Jim and Mike. So Just throwing that out there. We didn't want to make it like we're disparaging her, because I'm not.
So
certainly.
Once the election happens in November, how quickly do you do one of these people
take? There's an appointment tonight, most likely. Yeah. So that person fills until midnight on December 31st. So when you're elected,
January 1st.
It starts January 1st.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And just a final reminder, how much time do we have?
A minute 31. Go ahead.
Okay, so tonight is the actual meeting of the Public Safety Committee, where they will come forward with the resolution to appoint the coroner. And that happens at 7 o'clock. It's open to the public at 401 State Street. Immediately following at 7:30 is the meeting of the Board of Supervisors, where the vote will happen. And then we will find out tonight, if you're there, or tomorrow probably in the Register Star, who is the appointee?
Yeah. And I did actually just need to, I feel the need to point this out, that when this was first brought forward, that there was a resignation that Cricket was having to leave, the Republican Party put out the hand, if you will, to say we would be interested in talking to and willing to talk to the Democrat chairman, who never called. So I do just want to throw that out there, because no matter what happens tonight, regardless, it is a board appointment. There was never any communication in that regard. So,
I will certainly follow up.
Yeah, you should.
But I don't,
It was extended twice. So I did just need to throw that out there, too, because I don't want it to seem it's entirely political. Yeah, because it's really not. There was outreach made. We are good people, Republicans. I don't want to feel like we're not. 10 seconds. I want to thank both of you for coming in. That was wonderful. And I'm glad you
thank you both.